Welcome to Daily in the Word, a ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. For more from Dr. Chappell, visit his blog at paulchappell.com. And for books and other resources for Christian growth, visit strivingtogether.com.
This is a season of year that especially calls us to worship, to gratitude, and worship of the Lord Jesus Christ changes everything else about your life. Next on Daily in the Word with Paul Chappell, we're going to study Worship 101. Stay with us. Often it is what we worship that drives everything else in our life. What we worship is what consumes our devotion, our affection, our attention. And friend, today on Daily in the Word, we're going to study the subject of worship. Worship 101 is the series. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and the preaching of Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. We hope you'll join us every Monday through Friday through this season as we discover worship and as we learn more about the Christ of Christmas. You can find out more about Pastor Chappell on his blog at paulchappell.com. Also, you can find out more about Daily in the Word at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. But today we begin to close out this series with a message entitled Worshiping with a Pure Heart. Here's Paul Chappell.
How do you know that your heart is truly a repentant heart? Well, the Bible tells us that in repentance, we first of all request mercy. You will know that you have a repentant heart when you say, God, I beg your mercy. I'm not deserving of it, but I'm asking for it. Verse 1, have mercy upon me. David is pleading to God for mercy. He realizes he has been living a life that is not pleasing to God. And my friend, if we put off repentance another day, we have a day more to repent of and a day less to repent in. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the day to get right with God. And if God is speaking to you about the fact that your heart has been rebellious and hard and stubborn, today is the day to say, I am the man that needs to get right with God. And I'm not just talking about feeling sorry because you got caught. Yeah, my wife knows what I did. Preacher knows what I did. That's not what repentance is. Repentance is not just feeling bad for something you got caught doing. Repentance is acknowledging before God that you have been in sin and turning to Him and asking His forgiveness and turning away from what you were doing. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 7:9, now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed unto repentance, for ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. You see, here is a man sorrowing and saying, God, have mercy upon me. Notice secondly this morning, repentance requests forgiveness. He said, Lord, I need your forgiveness for what I've done. I need you to forgive me. Oh, you see sometimes men who say, I don't care what they say. I do what I want to do. That would not be a repentant heart. Repentant heart says, honey, I was wrong. Will you forgive me? God, I was wrong. Will you forgive me? Notice what he says in verse 1. He says, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Notice this, blot out my transgressions. The word blot out means he says, God, would you obliterate them? Would you do what you say in your word? Make them as far as the east is from the west, God. Would you cover my sin? Notice the word transgression there in verse 1. Blot out my transgression. The word transgression means to rebel. It means to revolt. Many a man gets into that rebellious mode. He gets a little ticked off at his wife. He gets in his car. Maybe it's convertible. Maybe he's got his little dice on the mirror now. He's got his favorite rock and roll tune from when he was in high school. He turns it on. Now he's mad at his wife. He's mad at God. He's driving down the road. One thing leads to another. And in his little rebellious moment, he sins. David said, God, Would you blot out my transgression? Hey, fellas, the world says it's cool, you know. God says it's sin. God says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. By the way, if you're living in rebellion, you're not real comfortable right now, and it has nothing to do with me. There is a God in heaven whose spirit moves and touches and points out when we need to repent. Oh, you can walk out of here in a rage. Ain't no preacher going to tell me how I'm going to live my life. I'll have my dice on my mirror if I want to. You could do that. Or you could march right up here and get right with God. Repentance says, God, I'm wrong. Forgive me. Repentance seeks cleansing. Notice in verse 2, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. He says, God, I want you to clean me up. I want you to wash me from my sin. Well, I don't know about you. When I was a little guy, my mom said, go wash your face. I didn't mind doing that. I kind of rubbed it a little bit. But I'm telling you, when she washed my face, it was another story. Normally, she'd grab a Brillo pad. I'm telling you what, she got busy. My face felt thoroughly scrubbed. That's what David's saying here, Lord. He's not saying, Lord, just polish me up. See, some of us want to just put on our Sunday look and go back to our Monday sin. But David says, no, I want you to thoroughly clean me up, Lord. Use the hyssop. Use the porous product. Get deep into me. Matthew 3 and verse 8, bring forth therefore fruits meet of repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. Jesus said, don't try to tell me about your religious pedigree. I see your heart. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. It doesn't matter if you're Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, whatever the case might be. It doesn't really matter who your grandpappy was or where your grandma went to church. What matters right now is how are you doing with God? Because when you stand before Jesus, you're not going to have all your friends there to vouch for you. It's just you standing before God. He says, cleanse me, Lord. Repentance requests mercy. Repentance seeks forgiveness. Repentance seeks cleansing. And fourthly, repentance makes no excuses. When your prodigal comes back, if you want to know if there's repentance, one way to know is, are they making excuses or not? Look at what it says in verse 3. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before thee. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Let me tell you what repentance is not. Well, I know what I did, but you know, she just doesn't really have sensitivity towards me. And I know what I took, but you know, I had the raise coming. I didn't get it. And I know what I did, but you just don't understand the stress I've been under. My friend, that is not repentance. When we are justifying ourselves, we have not come to the place where our heart really has been changed. But David said simply, Lord, against thee and thee only have I sinned. He said, Lord, I realize that I have erred in my way. Now, preachers could write books on excuses. I've had men tell me they would be in church on Sunday with their boat in the driveway and the truck running, knowing good and well they're not going to be in church on Sunday. Only to go back the next week, hey, how you doing, mister? Oh, man, tell you what, we got some sniffles last week that you would not believe. We sniffled all the way to the Colorado River. It was amazing. Excuses. Well, I know I don't tithe, but, you know, I do. You know, volunteer once a month at the hospital. All of a sudden, we begin to rationalize funny ways. All of a sudden, we start making these excuses, and the devil helps us with it. David said, you know what, Lord, I'm not even going to make an excuse. I've sinned. He said, I know what I did with Bathsheba, but you know, Lord, boy, we had a lot of pressure in the kingdom right about then, and it was just a tough time. But he didn't say that. He just said, Lord, I've sinned. UPI News Service told about the Metropolitan Insurance Company out in New York. They send their adjusters out. Someone has a crash. They send the adjuster out and they say, all right, what happened? Tell us about it. And they write down the story. And they printed off some of the stories that have been given by their customers over the years. One man said, an invisible car came out of nowhere, struck my car, and vanished. One man said, as I reached the intersection, a hedge sprung up and obscured my vision. One man said, I pulled from one side of the road, glanced at my mother-in-law, and dove over the embankment. One lady said, the pedestrian had no idea which direction to go, so I ran over him. One gal said, the telephone pole was approaching fast. I attempted to swerve out of its path when it struck my front end. David just said this, I acknowledge my sin before you. Lord, I'm wrong. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. Boy, I'm always glad someone's away from the Lord and they come back to Lancaster Baptist. They're not going to get any guilt. They're going to get a handshake, a hug. Boy, we're glad when anybody's here. We're glad people come to church. Church is a good place to get your life right with God. But you know, when someone's been out living like the prodigal and involved in every kind of a sin in the world, and they kind of come in like, hey, dude, hey, how's it going, man? Hey, yeah, oh, hey, good to see you. Hey, give me five. Hey, Bro Schmidt, hey, how you doing? Hey, good to see you. Yeah, all right, yeah, we're just here at church now. If there's been sin, and we're going to love you back and hey, high five and all that, but there's a great big difference between coming back to church and coming back to God. Amen. And when you come back to God, you come back saying, Lord, I've sinned. Psalm 32:5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity I have not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. The creation of a clean heart is made possible only when we repent. And you might be here this morning, and you're not sure that you're a Christian, and you've never had your heart cleansed in the first place. Then you must turn to the Lord Jesus and say, Lord, I come to you, and I ask you to be my Savior. And the Bible says that if you'll call on Him, He will in no wise cast you out. The creation of a clean heart. Notice secondly, the cultivation of a tender heart. All right, someone says, I've repented of my sin. I've asked the Lord to clean my heart. But I want to keep it that way now. I don't want to get hard-hearted. I want my heart to be tender towards the Lord. Would you look at verse 17 and see what it says? The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Now let's read that verse together real quick. Verse 17, ready to begin. The sacrifices of God are a broken and a contrite heart, O God. Now once my heart is clean, then I don't want to allow the hardening of sin to come back into my heart. Over and over again in the Bible, God said to the children of Israel, harden not your heart. Harden not your heart, as in the day of the provocation. Don't let your heart get hard. Now let's notice, first of all, a tender heart is a broken heart. He says, a broken and contrite heart I will not despise. The word broken means to be crippled or maimed. The word broken implies being dependent upon the Lord, broken up. Jeremiah 4 and verse 3, the Bible says, for thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground. Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. I see it, you've seen it. Someone comes to a revival meeting, the Lord breaks their heart, they come to the altar, they repent of their sin, and they seek the face of God. Now they're doing pretty well, but over time, if they're not careful, that hard heart once again returns. The Bible calls it fallow ground. When I worked on the farm in the summers back in Colorado as a young man, I'd get back there and they'd say, all right, jump on that John Deere 4020 and start plowing those rows. And I'd get up on that tractor and First, you have to plow so the seed could come in. And then once the plants came up, you had to plow so the water could come in. You had to break up the fallow ground. Why? Because there's no seed coming in except the ground is broken. There's no water coming in except the ground is broken. And sometimes even people who've been saved a long time, their heart can get hard and all of a sudden God's pouring the water out, but it's draining to the side of the road because they're sitting there with their issues and their bitterness and their complacency. And all of a sudden, they're not receiving the water. Break up your fallow ground. A tender heart is a broken heart. Break it up. That's why Charles Spurgeon said, a heart crushed is a fragrant heart. I've been praying for some of our members who have had trials in their lives, and sometimes it's medical or marital, and sometimes it's financial. And through that time, their heart is broken. And while I pray, Lord, provide for them, heal them, give to them what they need, I also pray, Lord, may they be closer to you than ever before during this trial. May they receive the preaching as never before. May they sense your presence as never before. I know in my life, when I've had disappointments or difficulties or trials, it's during those times that the Bible means more and the scriptures come into my heart more readily. And God can use the trial to get you closer to God. And you pray and you tithe and you do everything you know God wants you to do until things are going a little better. And then the heart gets hard again. A tender heart is a broken heart. A tender heart is a contrite heart, he says in verse 17. Again, it means to crush or to open. You say, Pastor, how do I keep my heart tender like that? Psalm 119, verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. The creation of a clean heart happens when we repent of our sin. We turn from our sin and we turn to the Lord and we say, Lord, I have sinned against thee. And then the cultivation of that heart, the maintaining of that heart comes when we have a heart that is tender and broken by the word of God and yielded to the word of God. But notice finally this morning, the continuation of a clean heart. Someone says, Pastor, I've turned to the Lord. I've asked Him to clean my heart. And I think my heart is fallowing up. The fallow ground is breaking up. But I don't want that to go away. I want to continue. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs 4:23 these words, keep thy heart with all diligence. Look at that on your notes. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Let's say that together, shall we? Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Say it again. Keep thy heart with all. Your heart's right with God. You better guard that. The word keep means to guard. Guard your heart. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You see, you better guard that heart. Psalm 139:23, search me, O God, and know my heart, and see if there be any wicked way in me. I mean, it's Sunday morning. It's time to open up your heart and say, Lord, is there anything in my heart you're not pleased with, Lord? Is there any sin or bitterness or disobedience, Lord? Search my heart, because, Lord, my heart can deceive me. I can think I'm okay when I'm not. Lord, it's Monday morning. I'm about to start my new day. Lord, I'm here. I'm asking you, Lord, search my heart. Lord, is there anything in my heart? Lord, it's Monday night. Lord, thank you for helping me not to get angry at the kids. And thank you for bringing me home. And thank you for helping me to turn away from that filthy joke at work. But now, Lord, search my heart. Lord, is there anything here that needs to change? Lord, I'll confess it. Try my heart, Lord. Help me to put a guard, a protection around my heart. How many of you know that the devil doesn't care if he gets you in a moment or over a period of time? He just wants to take you down and ruin the testimony of Jesus Christ. Arnold Palmer tells the story of the 1961 Masters Tournament. Arnold Palmer said, I was playing the best I've ever played. He said, in fact, he had enjoyed all the rounds, and now he stepped up to the 18th hole. He said he was feeling confident. He was enjoying the day. I have never felt confident one single time on a golf course. That is a good way to break a man's confidence. About the second hole, I start saying, beautiful weather. Man, great day for a walk outside. Isn't this wonderful? We can enjoy God's creation. I cannot comprehend after 17 holes of golf feeling confident. That's an amazing statement. He was in first place of the Masters. He said he stepped up to the 18th tee box. He swung that club and he hit a beautiful drive right down the middle of the fairway. He said he was feeling good. He said as he started walking down the fairway, he saw an old friend from high school. He just went over to him for a few minutes, kind of, hey, hey. How's it going, man? Hey, remember when? Hey, yeah, oh, hey, yeah. Hey, talk to you later. And he said when he came back to the fairway, he had broken his train of thought. He had lost his confidence, and he hit the next ball in the creek. Now, I can relate to that part of the story. And he missed his next two putts, and he lost the Masters because he forgot to guard his heart. See, you get to that place where you're walking with the Lord and you're walking in the confidence that the Lord brings, and there's no softer pillow than a sweet conscience and a right conscience. And you're walking right with the Lord, and all of a sudden, you think you're doing pretty good. You don't have your guard up. You're no longer asking for His help. And all of a sudden, here's an old friend, and all of a sudden, here's a little mail on the email, and all of a sudden, here's this or that. And all of a sudden, before you know it, destruction comes. You better continue with caution and care. And then finally, continue with caring. Notice what it says in verse 13, Psalm 51, 13. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways. Look here. When we get our hearts right with God, then we can help other people. Notice what he says there in verse 15. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Open my lips that I may sing praise. Do you notice verse 1 does not say, Lord, I'm going to sing some praise to you now. No, no. Verse 1 says, have mercy upon me. See, we got to get the heart right before we start with the mouth. See, look at God's not interested in some Jezebel getting up here and saying, I just want to tell you about Jesus and what he means to me. This isn't a rock concert. I'd rather have somebody sing up here who's half off key but has a heart right with God. See? He didn't start the whole thing off with, I'm going to sing from my lips a praise. Oh no, he started it off with, Lord, I repent. But listen to me. When you get your heart right, the rest of your worship is so sweet because God is pleased with the heart being right. By him, therefore, let us offer sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. I wonder this morning as I close, is Jesus in your heart? Now listen, if you're saved, he doesn't want to be just in the throne room of your heart. He wants to be on the throne. But I wonder for others, are you saved? Have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Does he live within you this morning? Are your sins forgiven this morning? Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. Have you accepted Christ as Savior? And if you have, is Jesus Christ ruling and reigning? Or do you need to say, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Oh, Lord, I repent of what I've done and where I've been, and I turn to you. And Lord, keep my heart cultivated. I don't want to get back to that hard place again. And Lord, help me to continue on by guarding this heart and serving you.
You've been listening to Pastor Paul Chapel on today's edition of Daily in the Word. We're studying worship. We're discovering how to worship thankfully, prayerfully, with a pure heart and a giving, generous spirit. Friend, worship begins at the very moment of the beginning of your relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you've listened to today's message and you've come to understand you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you're religious but lost. Friend, we would encourage you to bow your head and heart and invite Jesus Christ into your life to be your Savior. Place 100% of your faith in Him. Trust Him to save you from your sins and to give you His gift of eternal life. That is the very beginning point of a true relationship of worship. You can find out more about this decision and more about the ministry of Paul Chapel and Daily in the Word when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org or when you call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. And you can visit us online and find many resources for your own spiritual growth when you visit dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. On the website, you'll find links to Dr. Chappell's books and other resources. You'll find a complimentary daily devotional that will come to your inbox, your email inbox, every day in the new year. It will help you read through your Bible and walk with the Lord Jesus every day. That's all to be found at dailyintheword.org. Don't forget, you're invited to join Dr. Chappell, our guest speakers, and many Christian friends from around the country for the beautiful Alaska cruise, August 9th through the 16th, 2014. You'll enjoy not only great preaching from the Word of God, you'll enjoy the Christian fellowship, the wonderful music, and the incredible beauty and grandeur of God's creation as seen from on board a wonderful cruise ship through Alaska's Inside Passage. Again, the ship departs August 9th through the 16th, 2014. For more information, visit us at dailyintheword.org. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.